Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Robert Bowie Johnson, Jr., and he's written a few books, including one called Genesis Characters and Events in Ancient Greek Art. And by way of a disclosure at the very opening, I am not a Greek scholar, so I can't verify the truths of all this, but I've got a brain, and I can see what he's arguing, and it is an interesting thesis. And I know he's even been on Coast to Coast discussing this. And his website is called GenesisInGreekArt.com. So we welcome to the program Robert Bowie Johnson, Jr., again, author of Genesis Characters and Events in Ancient Greek Art. Dr. Johnson, good to have you on the program.
Jerry, it's great to talk to you.
Oh, and wait, is it Dr. Johnson, or did I just give you a promotion?
You gave me a promotion.
Oh, okay, well, I'll call you Robert. Okay. So, all right, so explain to us the overall thesis of your book, and then I want to ask you about how did you, you know, stumble across this?
Well, okay. Well, Greek gods look exactly like humans. For the most part, they represent our human ancestors. The word gods is theoi, and its literal meaning is placers. In ancient Greek art, the gods are the ancestors in the way of Cain who put their religious system in place. Now, St. Augustine wrote that the gods were humans, and he wondered why people thought different. Even 800 years before him, Socrates knew the truth of this. In Plato's dialogue, Euthydemus, he referred to the gods Athena, Zeus, and Apollo as his lords and ancestors. So, you know, in my book, Genesis Characters and Events in Ancient Greek Art, with 140 full-color images, I present overwhelming evidence for the true meaning of ancient Greek art. Greek myth is not myth, but it's the history of the human race told from the standpoint of the way of Cain. Genesis describes the early events and people in the history of mankind, while Greek art depicts those very same events, but from the opposite perspective, the way of Cain. The Greeks believed that the serpent enlightened mankind rather than deluded mankind. And their whole effort, which is depicted in their art, is to get back, to push Noah and his God out of the picture and get back to the ancient serpent and run their civilization in accord with the serpent's enlightenment.
Here on the cover of your book, you've got images, and this includes the ancient serpent. Then you've got Adam/Zeus, Eve/Hera, Cain/Hephaistos, if I'm saying that right, Noah/Nurus, Ham, Chiron, Cush, Hermes, Nama, Athena, Nimrod, Heracles, and Seth, Ares. In other words, you're basically saying that when they have these pictures of Zeus, that really these are like Adam, and Hera is like Eve, which would mean, if that were correct, if your thesis is correct, since the Romans basically took over the Greek gods and goddesses and they just gave them different names, Jupiter, for example, would be Zeus, then that would mean Mozart's 41st symphony, rather, is dedicated to Adam. The Jupiter Symphony. But, I mean, it's just weird. It's an unusual thesis. I've never heard it before.
Well, this Adam is the serpent-friendly Adam, and this Eve is the serpent-friendly Eve. Adam and Eve are Zeus and Hera in the Greek religious system, and Zeus is known through the ancient poets as the father of men and gods. And the gods, of course, are the ancestors, and the men are people who are alive. So he is, excuse me, and that's the same thing Adam is. Then you have Eve. She was, or Hera, who is Eve. She was worshipped as the goddess of marriage because she's Eve, the first woman to be married. She was worshipped as the goddess of childbirth, because she's Eve, the first woman to bear children. And it goes on and on like that. So you see all these figures for who they were. But Greek artists went back and told the story of what happened in the ancient paradise. And they called it the Garden of the Hesperides, and they put Zeus and Hera there. Apollodorus put them there, and the playwright Euripides put them there. So that's where they came from. And they always depicted that ancient garden with a serpent-entwined apple tree.
Wow.
And Genesis does not say what kind of tree it was that Eve ate from. It's from the Greek tradition. We get the idea that she ate an apple.
Hmm.
But not only after that, they depicted Cain killing Abel on the south side of the Parthenon. Parthenon was the great temple of Athena, who turns out to be the Nama of Genesis. I guess I'll get to that in a minute or two, but the woman who came through the flood and instigated the post-flood rebellion, the Cainite woman, the daughter of Lamech, who was seven times as bad as Cain. He was the last king of the Cainite world before the flood. But they told the story of what happened with the serpent and swine apple tree. They told the story of Cain killing Abel. They depicted the key event leading up to Noah's flood, which some people skip right over. And I just saw this one day, but it was the abduction of the Cain women by the men of the line of Seth to make them their wives. That's from Genesis 6:2, and that's not an easily understandable passage.
No.
But the Greeks depicted that again and again. The line of Seth abducting their women and taking them. It was a huge thing. And it's really what accounts for how the whole world became corrupted, because when the Cain women married the Seth men, they did not give up their Cainite ways, and they raised their children in accord with the way of Cain, and in a generation or two, you only had Noah's family that was believing God. So that's very significant. That's why that's in there. But they also depicted their version of the flood. They depicted Noah's flood. They depicted it as the disappearance of a man named Cainius, which means pertaining to Cain. But it's spelled like with a K, a Greek K or a Kappa, just like when Cain is mentioned in the Greek manuscripts. It's K-A-I-N. But so they depict centaurs, that's the way they depicted the line of Seth, as centaurs, half men, half horses, because they look down on the line of Seth. It's like today, the way the academic intellectuals look down on Christians. We're a bunch of idiots. We're a bunch of Bible thumpers. We cling to our Bibles and our guns, and we're not as, erudite or wise as they are. And that's the way of Cain thought about the line of Seth. But they depicted the flood as the centaurs in the line of Seth hammering them into the earth with big stones. And that's what happened to the line of Cain. They disappeared into the earth because there was a level of water not too far beneath the surface of the earth before the flood, because it says there was no rain before the flood, but that a dew came up from beneath. And then it says when the flood started, these things were spewed out above from the, the abyss of the deep, the water spewed out. And when that happened, that left a vacuum, and the top layer of the earth just collapsed. So that's what I think that's what that relates to, hammering them into the earth. That's how they disappeared. But they told the story, too, of Nereus, who was the Greek Noah. Nereus means the wet one. And they also called him Halios Geron, which means the salt sea, oh man. They knew exactly who Noah was. And I've got some vase depictions on my website, genesisandgreekart.com, of Noah, 2,500-year-old images of Noah on vases, and one sculpted image on the altar of Zeus at Pergamum, which Revelation 2:13 refers to as the throne of Satan. But then the Greeks painted many images of their celebration of the rebirth of the line of Cain after the flood, after they had overcome Noah and his God-fearing offspring. And very often they depict Nimrod, whom they called Heracles, as dealing with Noah and getting rid of him. He never kills him. He's never depicted. Nimrod's never pictured as killing Noah because he didn't. What he did was pushed him out of the way. So there's vase after vase of Nimrod grabbing Noah from behind, grabbing his hand that holds his scepter, stopping him, grabbing him from behind and pulling him back. Many, and there are, some of them are just out of this world.
You know, this is really an amazing thing. I mean, if you're correct, even in half of this stuff, what it really boils down to is that you have, it's like the example in, and this is true, and people need to realize this. There are a few hundred depictions from different cultures all over the world about a big flood that happened, you know, several thousand years ago. And it's kind of like different historical traditions. Now, they'll differ a little bit, you know, here and there, a lot of bit, and sometimes from the Noah's flood, but it's the same basic story. I mean, even in the Chinese depiction for the word flood, there's an indication where you have eight people in a boat. And it's like Noah, you know, the eight people who survived in a boat. How did you stumble across this thesis in the first place?
Well, I'll tell you, but first let me just comment briefly on the significance of this book and its implications. And Genesis characters and events in ancient Greek art destroys Darwinism and evolutionism. The atheist evolutionists, and there's so many of them out there, say that Genesis is a fairy tale. The ancient Greeks didn't think so. And I'm talking 2.5 millennia ago. The ancient Greeks didn't think it was a fairy tale. All their major temples built 2.5 millennia ago depict Genesis characters and events. And I show them in my book. Here they are. And their whole religious system boasts of the triumph of the way of Cain after the flood over Noah and his God-fearing offspring. And the great irony of this whole thing is that the ancient Greek religion that atheist mythologists do not understand is the very serpent-based religion they embrace. See, they're called mythologists because they don't recognize it as history. They can't, as an atheist, they can't recognize it as history. They cannot recognize Genesis characters and events.
How did you?
Or else they will cease to be atheists.
Right. So how did you personally come to discover all this?
Well, I went to West Point, and our guardian goddess was Athena. It still is Athena. It's on the Academy crest, the helmet, and I wore that helmet on my class shirt when we went to shoot. And I just wondered over the years, who was she? What's this? And she's the goddess of, the mythologists say she's the goddess of war, and she's the goddess of wisdom. And I looked at her Parthenon idol image, 40 foot tall, gold and ivory, and inside her shield, she has the huge serpent rising up. A friendly serpent. And in her right hand, she's holding Nike, which is victory. And it's a simple message. Greek art is simple to understand once you see it. This is the woman whose friendship with the serpent has led to humanity's victory. And I went, oh my gosh, she is the goddess of wisdom. She's the goddess of the wisdom of the Genesis serpent. Then she's the goddess of war. And when you look more, and you might not have time to talk about all this, but she instigated the war against the saints of God after the flood. Noah's God-fearing offspring. So my idol image, or the protective goddess of West Point, which is a pretty famous institution, turns out to be the goddess of the serpent's wisdom, and who wages warfare against the saints of God.
But this is
sounds astounding, but it's true.
Yeah,
she is a deification of the woman who came through the flood, Nama. The daughter of Lamech, the last person mentioned in the line of Cain. Why is she even mentioned? She came through the line of Cain as his wife, as Ham's wife. There are Greek vases that depict her abduction and that depict his romance with her, or his engagement, or what do you call it, his when he begs her to marry him. And then their marriage is depicted in Greek art. It's unbelievable. But after she got through the flood, she abandoned him. And he is Ham. He's Chiron. He's the only centaur who was pictured as a man, as a half man, half horse, but he has a full front of a man. The rest of the centaurs don't have that. Hmm. They have the legs of a horse. He has the full legs of a man. That's because he's the good centaur. Why is he a good the good centaur? Because he brought Nama through the flood.
Hmm. Well, so, we're basically out of time for this segment, but maybe we'll have you back sometime to talk more about this. Again, I want to refer people to your website and your books, Genesis Characters and Events in Ancient Greek Art is the one we've been talking about right now. GenesisInGreekArt.com for more information. Robert Bowie Johnson, Jr. Thank you so much for being with us, sir. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.